Take your Bibles and open to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 1. Mark 8, 1, we read, "In those days the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own house, they will faint by the way, for divers of them come from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" We're going to stop right there. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would meet with us and speak to our hearts. Lord, please work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you ever been sick before? Sick yeah. Probably 100% of the hands went up. If you haven't, please tell me the secret, because I'd love to figure out how not to get sick. But usually there are symptoms or things that point out the fact that something's not okay with our body. If you have a sore throat, then there are symptoms pointing to the fact that you have a sore throat. This evening, I'd like to challenge us with the symptoms of a hard heart. Here in this passage, I've been going through the book of Matthew in my devotions, and Mark, and Mark 8 kind of jumped out, and we're going to look at 3 points tonight that I believe are symptoms to a hard heart. You know, you can come to church Wednesday or Thursday twice a week, maybe 3 times a week. But did you know that that doesn't ultimately determine whether you're really walking with God? We're going to see from the disciples' life that they, although they were right there with Jesus and they were seeing Jesus do great things, yet I believe, at least in this passage, you can see where Christ is challenging them concerning a hard heart. First of all, tonight, one of the symptoms for a hard heart is we will be unmoved to people's need around us. You see here in verse 1 and 2, we see that there was a great multitude, the multitude being great. They were starving. They were hungry. But verse 2 says, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." You see, when Christ saw the multitude, he just didn't see people. He saw souls. You see, as we're going to continue reading, we're going to see that the disciples, when Christ presents the physical need of these people, the disciples are like, send them away, let them take care of themselves. But when Christ saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. The question to us tonight is, when we see the lost people at Wiggum's, is that how you pronounce that grocery store? Wegmans. Yes, that. Wegmans. Well, whenever we go to the store and we see the lost people around us, does it move us? You see, when Christ saw these people, he saw they had a need. Obviously, here in the passage, they had a physical need, which was bread. But more than a physical need, they had a spiritual need. They needed Christ. Right. You see, my point is, when we see the lost around us, how do we see them? We should see them through the eyes of Christ with a heart of compassion. Right. You know, their problem is, first of all, the people. It was a lot of people, about 4,000 people. There's a multitude right outside these doors who too are hungering for the spiritual bread, for the living bread. Will we take them Christ? Or will we, like as we saw the disciples in verse 4, and the disciples answered him, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in this wilderness?" Basically, they're like, "Lord, it's not my problem." Sadly, sometimes I've gone through life thinking that if somebody that I went across was dying without Christ, it wasn't my problem either. But you see, we as Christians, if you're saved, we have a responsibility to take the gospel, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just pastor's responsibility. It's not just the missionaries that's been through's responsibility. But it goes back to how do we see people? First of all, one of the symptoms, I believe, of a hard heart is we're unmoved to people's need around us. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. So mind you, here are two chapters. Now, the chapters are not inspired, but this is a couple instances before chapter 8 where we see the feeding of the 4,000. Before that, we look at the feeding of 5,000 and look at verse 34. The Bible says, Mark chapter 6, verse 34, a few instances before the passage in which we're looking at. Verse 34 says, "And Jesus went, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." Verse 35, "And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far, far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Verse 37, he answered, this is Jesus, and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." Let's stop right there. Again, a few instances before, we see the feeding of 5,000. It was late. The disciples were tired. 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Exhausting. The disciples' response is, "Let them take care of themselves." Christ's response, "You give them to eat." Maybe we're coming home from a hard day at work. Sometimes at work you can have one of those days that's like, "I can't wait till Friday." We're tired. We've had a long day at work. We have to fuel our car, and that person across the pump is pumping across from us. We're tired, we're fed up, we had a rough day at work. Sometimes our reaction might be just to send them away rather than telling them about Jesus. When we see the lost, are we unmoved? Or do we have compassion on them? Matthew 14:14, the Bible says, And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When I see lost people, am I moved with compassion, or do I just move on? It's interesting, you know, we're really passionate about what we love. We see that Christ was passionate about the lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are we passionate about souls? Jude 22, the Bible says, "And some having compassion, making a difference." So how do we see the souls around us? The first symptom of a hard heart is we're unmoved to the spiritual need of the people around us. May the Lord help us this week to see the lost through the eyes of Christ. You know, young people, the reason God saved you, if you're saved, and left you in this world, is so that you could be a witness for him. There's nothing wrong following a career, but if that's the extent of your life, wow. Just imagine using your whole life pursuing the American dream to build up your 401k, to leave for your children and grandchildren to fight over. And that's the extent of your life? Really? While there are souls dying, that if we went and told them about Jesus, their lives could be transformed. Young people, how do you see the lost around you? Are we unmoved to people's need around us? Back to our passage. It's a matter of perspective here. If you look at verse 4. And when his disciples answered, from whence can a man, notice very carefully that phrase there, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? That was a question. From the disciples' standpoint or view, they're like, how can Peter, James, or John, how can he feed all these people? They can't, right? And there is the key, folks, to really us witnessing it. It's not our work. You see, in Acts 1:8, the Bible reminds us that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, my ability or the power for witnessing doesn't come from my intellect. It doesn't come from my charisma. It comes from the Holy Ghost. So what I'm trying to say is this. No man cannot satisfy these 4,000 men here in the desert, but God could, the living bread could. No, we don't have the answer for the world's problem, but we have God's word, and here is the answer for the world. Amen. No man cannot satisfy these 4,000 men in the desert, but God could. Let's jump back to chapters in our minds. Who was right there with Jesus when Christ was feeding the 5,000? Yep, you got it right. Who? The disciples. So a couple instances before, the disciples, the very disciples, had seen God do a miracle with five loaves and how many fishes? And two fishes. Thanks for reminding. No, I'm kidding. But then here's 4,000 men and seven loaves. So in other words, less people with more bread. But yet, they're like, how can a man? No, men can't, but God can. Folks, God still can work in the U.S. God still can turn countries upside down with the gospel. But we must quit relying on ourselves and our methodologies and start relying on God and His Word. You see, He has promised to build His church. I've had people ask, my dream is before I die, I'd like to see 140 churches planted. I can't do it. But I'm not the one building the church. You see, God can do it. Jump back to chapters again. Mark chapter 6, verse 52. Notice carefully. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts was hardened. The symptoms of a hard heart, we'd be unmoved to the people's need around us. Secondly, indifferent to spiritual things. Notice with me in verse 15. Let's start in verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. This is after the feeding of 4,000. Verse 15, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? Christ, in the context here, he was trying to teach the disciples a spiritual lesson. He was warning of the leaven of the Pharisees. For the sake of time, we're not going to go into that. But basically, the leaven of the Pharisees was, they were focused on the outside. They praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It was a Pharisaical out appearance when their heart was rotten. The disciples automatically goes to earthly, carnal things. Oh, it's because temporal, we didn't take bread. That's why he's telling this to us. But Christ all along was trying to teach them a spiritual lesson. The symptom of a hard heart is we're indifferent to spiritual things. When was the last time that you felt that still small voice tugging at your heart? The Lord convicting you or showing you something that you needed to work on. Well, if it's been a long time, maybe that's a symptom of a hard heart. Lastly, real quick, Hosea 10, verse 12, the Bible says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. If we have a hard heart, we need to ask the Lord to break up that hard ground so we can hear again the still small voice. Hear again God speak to us, to our hearts. Lastly, another symptom for a hard heart is ignore what Christ did for you. Notice in verse 17, and when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye yet your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see not, and have ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? Here in this passage, obviously, Christ is calling their attention. Don't you just remember that I fed 4,000 men, and your words that you don't have bread with me here on the ship? They had forgotten what Christ did for them. When we as Christians forget the price that was paid for our sin and the awesomeness of the plan of redemption and salvation that God has given us, I believe that our hearts start getting hard and apathetic toward the things of the Lord. What causes a Christian to be able to live a life unmoved to the fact that there are people dying and going to a devil's hell? Indifferent to the things of God, and to ignore or to take for granted what Christ did for them? A hard heart. So what is the solution for a hard heart? Psalm 51:17. Psalm 51 was after David committed that horrific sin with Bathsheba, and he repented. He writes, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. As we close this evening, it's interesting to think that these very disciples would later in the book of Acts pretty much turn the world upside down with the gospel. What changed? Their hearts. So if there's hope for Peter, the one who would deny Christ, there's hope for us. If we once again ask the Lord to give us a tender heart to souls, a tender heart to God's word, and to remind us of how great a salvation he has given us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all you've done. Work in our hearts. I pray for the upcoming message to continue to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.